Lots to talk about today. We need to tell you the latest from Google. They have just canceled an all-hands-on-deck discussion about that memo. Apparently, they think that might go poorly for them, so they have just canceled that meeting. We want to talk to you a little bit about Bill O'Reilly and Bill O'Reilly's new TV show. Bill O'Reilly, the press on this is absolutely stunning. He's going to be joining us next hour. And let's give you your quick update here on North Korea and war. A government-run Chinese newspaper said yesterday that China is going to stay neutral if North Korea attacks the United States. But if the United States goes for a first strike, they will side with North Korea and will move to stop us. Good. Could China stop us? Well, yeah. It's been over 60 years since we have clashed with theirs, but U.S. troops have gotten the better of the Chinese forces that poured across the border in the Korean War, but things have changed for both sides. As the media strangely and perversely tries to push President Trump towards a confrontation or even a nuclear strike in North Korea, the rest of us need to be pushing for calm and diplomacy. The president claimed over and over and over again that he is a great negotiator. He can get us the greatest deal. Well, if that's true, there has never been a time when those skills would come in more handy than right now. What America does not need is a war with North Korea, and we certainly don't need a war with our biggest investor and a standing army of 2.3 million people, another 1.1 reserved, and the ability to call up 100 million more. And of course, I feel like I have to remind the press, but not the American people. Every American knows and understands the insanity of exchanging nuclear blows. Apart from the catastrophic loss of life and the escalation of war, the likes of which the world has never seen, it would bring economic disaster. And in case somebody on the left coast happens to be listening to this, imagine the damage for climate change. Every elected official and every media source should be shouting the devastating effects from the rooftops. And if they're not, find yourself a new politician or a new party to follow and find a new media source and do that right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck program.
So because of a fear of leaks, Google has canceled its all-hands-on meeting over the engineer firing fiasco. What is happening in tech? What is happening in Silicon Valley? Jeffy, did you look up Abraham Lincoln for me today? Did you Google him? Can you bring that over to me? I want to see what does Google say about Abraham? What does Google say about Abraham Lincoln? I want everybody to Google right now, Abraham Lincoln. What does Google say about Abraham Lincoln? Now, of course, they're going to give you the whitehouse.gov and the Wikipedia page, but over on the right, you'll see Abraham Lincoln, 16th president. You see that? This is the information provided by Google. Abraham Lincoln was the American politician and lawyer who served as 16th president of the United States from March 1861 to assassination 1865. Born February 12, 1809, height 6'4", assassinated April 15th. Party, the National Union Party. Wait, what?
What?
Hang on. What? He's what? He's the, The National Union Party? I've not heard of the National Union Party. You want to know the effects of Google? There it is.
Unbelievable.
There it is. Google is the portal for all information. When Google decides we're going to change that information, it's changed. And who are they going to? Who are your kids going to believe? You or Google? When I saw that yesterday, I thought there is no more important thing than the preservation of the documents that we are preserving right now at Mercury One. There is nothing more important. You want to talk about clay pots. You remember 12, 15 years ago, I started hearing in my prayers, clay pots. When it comes to history, clay pots. And I wondered, is it for our children? And the answer is yes. Is it for the preservation of those documents, like the clay pots to me refer to the Dead Sea Scrolls? Once the Nicene Creed was adopted and everybody said, this is Christology, this is what the Bible says and nothing more, the Dead Sea Scrolls became very important. Quick, roll up everything you have and put them in clay pots and bury them deep in caves where no one will find them, because they're all going to be destroyed. Because the early church wanted no dissent. And the way you have to destroy the documents. That has never become more important than education for our children. So they know it. But they have to know it with the actual documents. Because, I'm sorry, I've never heard of the National Union Party. Can somebody tell me? I'm going to Google. I'm just going to click on it. National Union Party.
Yeah, it's the Republican Party. It's what they called themselves during that election.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's Republican Party.
The name used by the Republican Party. Now, how many are going to say the National Union Party? So you know. Correct. I've never heard it referred to as that.
I haven't either.
No.
So, I guess it's correct. Uh-huh. Or is it one of those facts that most people, because they don't do their own homework, they'll look down here, Abraham Lincoln was not a Republican. He was not a Republican. The Republicans took over after Abraham Lincoln. That's exactly what's coming. That's exactly what's coming. And you know who's going to do it? Not the stupid people, but the people who are in direct control of our universities and the people who control the portal of information. Google should have every libertarian, every classic liberal, and quite honestly, every liberal running for the hills. They should. You want to talk about a takeover of a corporation and making the United States into just one giant corporation? I'll tell you, it's the Circle, it's Apple, it's Google, it's Amazon. We're going to be controlled by four corporations. I know that sounds like a conspiracy theory. How are you going to fight the person who has the keys to the library? If the librarian says to your student, the road to serfdom, that doesn't exist. Oh, you're thinking of the road to serfdom. That road to serfdom, that was what a nickname for Adam Smith's book, Wealth of Nations, because it actually just turns you into a slave. Now, we don't have a copy of Wealth of Nations. It was discredited a long time ago, but I have some papers here that you can read about it. How hard is that? Now, you're taking that, I'm obviously taking that to the nth degree, but may I just say that the nth degree has passed a long time ago. The nth degree has, I mean, when I'm not leading the show with, did you see the picture of Chelsea Manning? in the swimsuit on the beach?
And no, unfortunately, I did not.
Oh, no, in Vanity Fair?
No.
Where they called her a stunning American beauty?
Oh, my gosh.
I think you would agree, Pat.
I'd like to.
Think so?
I mean, a stunning American traitor, sure. A stunning American beauty? Go ahead, go to glennbeck.com right now. Picture's up there.
No thanks. No, thank you.
What the hell is this? So don't tell me that anything is insane anymore. We're there. We are so far over the cliff. And by the way, I actually, when I saw that last night, I thought, I've got to call Don. I got to call Don Imus. Because I wonder
if... Terrible instinct off of Batman
News. Oh, I know. No. You ready? That was my next thought. I wonder if Don would even say anything anymore. I wonder what the blowback would be for me to put Don Imus on, who says, American Beauty? Fill in the rest of the Don Imus monologue. You can't have that opinion anymore. Let me go back to Google for a second. You go back to Google and you look at what... Why are women upset? Women are upset because, quite honestly, their new slave owners, the progressive movement, is telling them they're nothing without them. Without this education, without us clearing the path, you're so stupid, you don't even know you're oppressed. You're so stupid that without us, you'll never make it. I want to play something that happened last night. I took phone calls and Sky calls in, and my first reaction as a broadcaster is, how is this my first phone call? Because he is obviously not a good speaker. How is this my first phone call? Why would they put him as number one to take right out of the gates? And then I listened to him. Listen to this.
Okay, I don't want to take up too much of your time. I know that you don't have a lot. So, going over what your call screen with your call screener, I don't want to go into all of it. But I was diagnosed with autism and OCD at 15 years old, and I've spent, you know, and I've come across you in 2009-ish or so. So I was, you know, 18, 19, and you being a presence in my daily life, a part of my life daily, has helped me become the man I am today. You being there and a daily presence, and I have gone on to do things that people never thought possible, that it didn't, this or that I could never accomplish or do because of my disorder. They always viewed me as my disease or my disorder rather than as Kevin, as a person. And so I've been a part of your program and for 9-10 years, and it's what's kept me going on. It's what's kept me moving and going and doing things. And I've gone on to, I now independently live on my own. I drive my own car. I go to college. I'm in my second year of college with a grade point average of 4.0. And I've been able to, the God's honest truth is if you had not been a part of my life, your program, your inspiration, your empowerment, I would not be where I am today.
There are so many places to take that. But let me just start with this one. I never told Kevin he wasn't his disease. I never did shows on autism or OCD or any of that. Kevin somehow or another heard that from me. Kevin chose to stop being his disease, in his words, and be Kevin. That is a story that should haunt all of us all day long on multiple fronts, but just this one. I'm so upset about that memo about women. I'm so tired of people telling me that I can't make... Who cares what the world tells you? The world is always wrong. They've always told strong people they can't do it. They always pick the losers or the bad guys. They do everything they can to stop the good guys. Who cares what the world tells you? It's what you tell you. If you believe you can't do it, then you won't. Who do you need? Who do you need to tell you that you are great, that you can make it, that you can accomplish it? Who do you need? Who do you need more important than you? A miracle is nothing more than a change of perspective. There's no miracles in Kevin's life except that one thing. He started to believe, I have value, I have worth, and I can do it no matter what anyone else says. Can we please stop arguing about the Google message, memo? Can we please call BS on all of this nonsense? You were born with absolutely everything you need. You're a slave to your own thoughts. Trust me, I know. I know how it works. The most powerful sentence, the two most powerful words in all of language, I am. What follows that? I am my disease. Or I am Kevin. I am successful. I am smart. I am capable. It's you that decides. And all the rest of it is bullcrap and an excuse. Choose who you're going to be and do it today. All right, welcome to the program. We're glad you're here. I love people are now starting to send us all kinds of things. Oh yeah, you think that's bad with Google? Try this. We know the problem. Now what's the solution? Educating ourselves, knowing the truth, the uncomfortable truth. The worst of us and the best of us know those things. Bury it deep inside.
The Glenn Beck Program.
And know it's true. Mercury. All right. A couple of things I want to talk about. We need to get everything off of our desk today, guys. It's Friday, so let's just start going through the stories that we may have missed this week. Did you see the two teenage girls that put the crying baby in the refrigerator? See the video of this?
No.
Okay, so two teenage babysitters, they're from Massachusetts. They've been arrested and charged with child endangerment and assault. The baby was crying, and so they opened the refrigerator door, and apparently it's one of those with the window in it that you can see. They just put the baby in the shelf, you know, to cool down. And they're laughing and they're smart enough to take a video of this abuse and they're laughing about it and post it. So what happens? Well, they're arrested. How mad would you be as a mom? All right. How mad would you be as a dad? Well, Mom is defending the girls because one of the girls is a niece. And she's like, hey, she didn't mean it. You know, they weren't trying to be mean to the baby. They just thought it would be funny. Oh, really? Yeah.
Wow.
And, you know, I'm just not going to have her babysit again. Well, yeah, that would be a good start, Mom. That would be a really good start. I guess I'm not going to have them babysit again. Can you imagine what your wife would say? I mean, my wife would start with, honey, don't walk away. That's the first thing that my wife would have to say, because I would be out of my mind. My wife would not say, well, we're not going to hire them again. Also, there's another story. This one comes from WSB TV. Gwinnett County father says his 7-year-old daughter made it to school, but she never made it to her after school program for hours. Sean Harris said he had no idea who had his child until his phone rang and her voice was on the other end. Pure anxiety. I was in disbelief that this could even happen. What happened? Department of Family and Children's Services came and took the child out of school, needed to question without the parents' knowledge at all, until they realized, oops, we have the wrong girl. She called and said, oh, the state took me out and was questioning me, and then they realized they had the wrong person, and so they allowed me to call. They allowed me to call you, my dad? Again, it would be another lecture from my wife. Honey, no, don't. No, don't. As a dad and as a mom, your child is just disappeared from school. And because it's the state, the school doesn't tell you that. Your child's just gone. Imagine the terror that you are going through as a parent for hours. And we have him on. Sean Harris is going to be on with us in hour number 3. I'm wondering how much he's suing for. And it's not about money. It's about making sure that that doesn't happen to anyone. How can the state go in and just take your child? Oops, made a mistake. Oh, my God.
Even if it wasn't a mistake.
Even if it wasn't a mistake. No, doesn't matter. It makes it worse because it just shows how incompetent. You're the protector of my child and you picked the wrong child? Oh, yeah. Sit down.
It's infuriating. What percentage of the conversations you have with your wife would you say have some variation of please don't say what you're about to say? 80, 85? It does seem like this is a common refrain.
Probably about 50%. Okay. Yeah.
Only 50,
yeah.
Huh?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we don't go out as much as we used to. So we're not just out in public like we used to, you know, where there's lots of people who are just, we're just getting to know each other. That doesn't happen as much anymore.
No.
You know, and probably by design, her design. But a lot of times.
Because I don't think that dynamic is the same. Like, I think Pat's really, I think mine for sure. And I think maybe Pat's might be the opposite. Where, like, I'm constantly saying to Lisa, no, you don't need to do that. Just we'll deal with that later. You don't need to put that note on the car who
That's
parked
fine.
Next to you.
Don't worry about it.
I don't insert myself into, you know, somebody parked wrong, somebody did. I don't insert myself in there. But if I'm sitting at a table, I need like a titanium shim. Titanium shin. Mm-hmm. Because I've been kicked in the shin so many times by my wife. I mean, there's two things that you hear having dinner with the Becks. You will hear, if she just at the very end, you will hear, honey, no, just leave it alone. No, you know, hey, you know, I think did anybody see the new movie? You'll hear that. But before that, you'll hear about 3 minutes of ow from me. Ow, stop kicking me. Stop. She's poking me. We look like, you know, like we're 12. She's poking me. She's poking me to say, shut up.
And so the movie thing is when you're changing topics, you're trying to...
Yeah, she's... Not me, that's her.
That's her.
That's her saying, hey, look, squirrel.
And then 30 seconds after that, she's kicking you in the shin again because you've given a spoiler to the movie and have now ruined it for everyone else.
No, it has nothing to do with the movies. I am not going to play... I'm not going to play the PC game. I'm not going to... Especially if it's on my time and it's my... You know, my time out, and you know, I want to be with my friends, and I want to. I'm not going to play that game. I'm not going to play that game. If I'm at somebody's wedding, I'm going to be the most polite, and I'm going to endure all of it.
Well, the first 8 to 12 minutes of it until you duck out the back door. But yes, you'll be there for while you're there.
Right. I'm going to be the most polite. If I'm at somebody's house, I am a pleasant guest. You're at my house, which, by the way, I'm not kidding you. My wife has banned all guests from our house. She is like, no one is coming to our house anymore.
That explains why.
I'm like, wow. Well, you've been on that list because we have security and they run everybody's background. But so, you know, if you're coming out with us, then you know you're rolling with us. And if you say bull crap, I'm going to say that's bull crap and you know it.
Is that normal? Because I feel like, especially with the job that we do, I am much less probably politically correct here than I am outside of here. Like, we're here, I feel like, my job is to say everything that I want to say, no matter what the consequences are.
Here's the thing.
I'm at dinner. That's not what I'm doing.
Talking to a guy. I'm just saying I'd have no tolerance for bullcrap. I'm not going to bring it up, but I'm also not going to let you live in some fantasy world where you think, right? Am I right? No, you're not right. You're an imbecile.
That's dinner with you?
If you're an imbecile, yes. I'm sorry. You're not right. Period. Unless your source is Wikipedia and Google, then we'll have a talk. But I'm not like that. Like last night we were at the kids' new school, and it was, you know, parent-teacher night.
That was fun.
Yes, it was.
People love seeing you come through that door.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. Teachers love me. So I was sitting with the principal of the school, which was really great because she had absolutely no idea who I was. She's running a school. She has no clue. And so I got some real information. She treated me like a regular human being, which was wonderful. And so we start. Now, this is a couple months ago when we were interviewing schools. And so we start and I sit down and this is the second interview. Tanya went for the first one. And then I went, you know, because I said, I've got some questions. And Tanya's like, no, don't. Okay. And so I sit down and she said, nice to meet you. It's great to have you here. Your wife said that you might have some questions. And I said, yeah, first, let me just start here. I'm a Mormon. And she went, okay. And I said, let her rip. Go ahead. You're a Christian school. Go ahead. And she's like, what? I don't know. And I said, I've gone to several schools here, and they're all Christians, and they all say the same thing. Oh, no, we have no... And then after my kids get excited about going to that school, then you all of a sudden, because people are like, oh, we can't have a Mormon here. They're witches. So go ahead. What's going to happen? And she's like, nothing. And I said, so what are you going to, will you stop people from bullying my children? And she said, my gosh, what experience have you had? And I told her, and she's like, okay, none of that is going to happen here. And I was like, okay, good, I believe you. And I said, do you know what I do for a living? And she said, no. And I said, oh, great. Can I talk to you about history? And she said, sure. And I said, tell me about this person. How is the view of America? And she told me her view of America, and she said, you're probably going to have a problem with this, but there's a couple of things that I hold strongly to. One, that America is not the golden land of opportunity that you find in, you know, all the fairy tale histories, but it is certainly not the evil America that you now find that is prevalent in all universities and all textbooks because of the progressive movement. I said, we're done. Okay, I'm good. So, but last night we went, and I was not, I when I'm in a group of people, I'm quiet and don't say anything. And, you know, when it's appropriate to be that person where you're just quiet and shy, I don't need to turn tables over. That's ridiculous. But you need to stand up when it's time to stand up.
Did you ask them after which side of the school has the flying broom drop-off area for your witch children?
No, strangely, no. They pointed that out to me last night. And they were like, and here's where the Mormon creatures are going to sit. But at this point, living in Texas, after all the other school experiences, I was like, oh,
okay, we got our own area? Nice.
We have our own area, and they're only calling us creatures. This is great. So Bill O'Reilly's coming up next, and I really would love to hear his take on this. Jeffrey Lord is a guy who I don't like at all. I don't find his commentary worthwhile. I think he is just a shill. I don't like him at all. He was fired from CNN yesterday, and it's outrageous what they've done to him. Again, I don't like his opinion. I don't ever watch his opinion. I think you can fire him for other reasons, like he stinks, but not for the reason they fired him. And we'll get into that at the very top of the discussion with Bill O'Reilly. It is outrageous. And if you don't think that we are, if you think that, oh no, we're making all kinds of progress and this administration is really turning things. No, they're not. Nothing has changed from the left. They are silencing any voices of dissent. What happened this week at Google is fascistic. What is happening now at CNN is fascistic. And if your media source is not telling you that, get a new one.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.